Blog Talk Radio.
And good evening. Welcome to another edition of the New Africa Business Association Blog Talk Radio. I am along with my
Abdul Aziz Shaheed.
And welcome to
and
tonight's and Aziz, I'm still hearing that real trash. Something is going on, but I'm not hearing it now. But anyways, nobody on but you and I. So
yeah,
there ain't
nothing running around me.
Okay. Well, anyway, we're not hearing it now. So I am going to just take a quick break, and then we'll come back and give everybody a chance to come on, and we'll start tonight's show.
Fantastic.
Sponsor break.
All right.
Bynum & Associates Financial Planning and Insurance. Immediate annuities. Retirees, roll over your 401ks, TSPs, and pension plans into an immediate annuity. It will pay you a monthly income for life guaranteed. Please contact me for a free income quote today. At Bynum & Associates, we'll professionally mind your business. Visit us online at www.BynumAssociatesInsurance.com or give us a call at 202-288-5660 or 301-234-9090. Natural Skincare by Karima with Shea Butter. We offer a great selection of 100% all-natural moisturizing creams for the face and body without preservatives. Also, check out our hair products. Order online and get them delivered to your home. Check out our new online shop at www.etsy.com. Search for Natural Skincare by KHB. For more information, visit us online at www.naturalskincarebykarima.com or email us at naturalskincarebykarima@gmail.com. Give us a call at 301-534-4475 or fax us at 240-318-3537. Try out our newest product, our peppermint foot rub, for a luxurious feeling your feet won't forget.
And welcome back to tonight's show again. I am your host, Bilal Masadiq Bynum, along with my co-host,
Abdul Aziz Shaheed, and greetings again.
And we both welcome you back to the show. We're going to, Aziz, before we get started, I'd like to hear your comments. Of course, we have real unique times are going on. That noise again, Brother Aziz, I really don't know where it's coming from.
I sure don't either because I'm sitting in the room, no one here but me.
I mean
nothing.
You can't hear
it.
You can't hear the noise.
I just can hear you like you're breaking up.
Okay, that's that noise. Maybe it's, I don't know where it's coming from. But anyway, welcome back to the night show. Everything is nice and quiet now. Brother Aziz, as I was saying, my goodness, there it is again. I welcome your comments. I think I'm going to let you start off with your comments about the events that's going on, and then we are going to get into our business show this evening because our business show is still invested in buying this Selma, Alabama through our investments. Participation and activities. But Brother Aziz, as far as opening up the show.
Right. Greetings, and thank you, Brother Bilal. Of course, today is a day where we had inauguration of the new incoming President Joe Biden and Vice President Kamala Harris. And it was quite unique because in this time, since you and I both, Brother Bilal, have been living in the Washington area for a considerable amount of time, 40, 50 years, and we've never seen anything take place like it did today wherein the general public was not allowed to be out there, and 25,000 National Guardsmen, thousands of police officers from all around, and it's it's quite devastating on the American people, because everything is really out of whack, and people have been getting so much fake news. It's taking its toll on businesses all around. And we're hoping that the president, one of his first initiatives will be to get information on these COVID vaccines and things like that, that's dealing with that COVID, and get the community back physically healthy, as well as taking care of other situations that we have going on in the country. And secondly, we want a request from this president, definitely. This is one of his initiatives, is to deal with police behavior, and especially towards the African-American community. And that's a major thing. But I think, my personal opinion now is that this is a great time with Biden coming in for African Americans to look into, and if we can, we're going to do that on our show too, trying to find African Americans that are business people that know about the different and various opportunities that exist out there for us, because that's what we're about. The New African Business Association, not only about promoting businesses and networking businesses, but also by doing that, we're talking about community building too, and that's one of the important things. We got to get out there building our communities, because if not, everybody else is going to be teaching our children, and we don't want that to be done like that, you know, especially when it comes to the Islamic community, as well as other communities too, the African-American community, whatever our religion is or whatever. It's imperative that our children know our history and how it has affected us most of all, and as well as the past heroes. But we have some modern-day heroes in our community today that very instrumental in helping move us forward at a time wherein the whole country is bogged down. We're coming out of a hellhole, and thanks to some of our beautiful sisters down in Georgia, as well as other places in the politics themselves, in the Congress and the Senate, and those that aren't just hard workers out there, and we know who they are. We just want to thank them again and again, and we're hoping that we can get some of my brother politicians that's out there to get on the ball with these sisters too, and let's make a change, man. If it's the women that's going to help make the change, first of all, lead the way, but let it go. Because we know we got brothers out there that not only got their backs, but we'll be out there in front with them. So I just want to say, in spite of how dooming and glooming it look out there, we see a lot of bright light and a lot of bright hope for us in business, and that which Brother Bilal, you will present to the our audience later on, the feature you're going to present about Selma, Alabama, and that's going to be inspiring. But that's my take on the new year, Brother Bilal, that, you know, we got to really, really stress more, or try to get more listeners to realize that that's the only way we're going to be successful, is through promoting our businesses and our businesses networking with one another. So that's my take on it. Thank you for letting me share that, brother.
You're certainly welcome, Brother Aziz. And, of course, our mics are open this evening. Any comments anyone wish to have about their business or comments about the events as they're taking place, especially with when it comes to the security, we're having some serious noise coming through. I don't know where it's coming from, but it's drowning us out. But wherever it's coming from, it's breaking up occasionally. Like I was saying before. My concern is if it took security here in the nation's capital as to where you had a force bigger than the force than we sometimes employ in war zones. We have a type of force just here in Washington, D.C. My thing is what happens after this security leaves. I'm not only concerned about here in Washington, D.C., because Washington, D.C. have in itself a lot of security at all times because it's a federal city. I am concerned, though, about African Americans and especially other minorities. And I use them, and white folks too, but I have to voice my concern about minorities, especially African Americans, because we know when it comes right to it, this is who is the bullseye of this white supremacist move. So again, if it takes this type of security to secure Washington, D.C., how much security do we have in many of our towns in the South and cities in the South? How much security do we have in our cities in the North? In other words, in the African-American communities, period, regardless as to where they're located, if white folks cannot secure themselves, how in the world is security, where are we going to find this security if we don't provide it ourselves? Because, again, Brother Aziz, last Wednesday, there's a police force. We know they say the police, Capitol Hill Police Force, consist of almost 6,000 policemen, and those 6,000 policemen, those white supremacists came through here, and looked like those 6,000 policemen give right up, and looked like most of them became very, very patriotic with those white
right.
supremacists. Once they came in and made their move, and see, that's my concern about this white supremacy move. You know, white supremacists, the Ku Klux Klan, all of that could not survive if good white folks didn't allow them to. And it was
right.
white who allowed and paved the way for this mob to come through here. And I'm saying it's pathetic. They did to the Capitol grounds, and then went away from here, talking about power to the people, power to white people.
Yes.
And I know they tell me they arrested a couple hundred of them, but during that Black Wall, during a Black Lives Matter and throughout the country, they had thousands of us. Overnight, it's white supremacists that come in here and kill folks and tear up. I'm saying the democracy, the building that emphasizes our democracy. They come in here and 5,600 policemen look like they became their friends. They became pretty associates. It's just a matter. I don't think white policemen have the ability to fight white supremacy, and that's the title of our statement. And so we're asking, and anyone who has any opinions on this, our mics are open. Our call-in number for those who wish to participate. That call-in number is 657-383-1372. And looks like our switchboard is not lighting up real big this evening like it did last evening, Brother Aziz, but we're on for an hour. We will see. because we know the inauguration is going on tonight, and many of us, like myself, was looking at the change, hopefully.
Right, yeah.
That is coming into play. So if that's what's interfering with our audience participation, then I certainly understand, because what's going on in our country right now, coming together and being unified is, if we don't do it, we're finished. If they don't do something over white supremacy and allow it to infiltrate good white folks, because that's how the white power was able to be in this country for so long. Good white folks. You could tell what I mean again by those white policemen up on the cap, up on the hill, because they supposed to be good white folks. But again, they allowed the white supremacists to infiltrate their laws and everything that our democracy stands for. They opened the way up for them. Are they were scared? I don't know what the situation is. But when you are talking to me and saying that I am your policeman and I am your security, then I look for you to take the first bullet.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that badge was all about. Yeah. After all, we was in uniform and in war. They looked for us to take the first bullet. In fact, they told us not to fire on anybody until we fired on them.
Right.
You know, to take the first
bullet.
How is it? No, but I'm saying, you're talking about a whole bunch of African Americans, but when it comes to white folks, when you take the first to enforce law and order, I'm saying that white cannot do it against other white. I just don't believe it, and I hope I'm wrong. In the meantime, like I said, this is Wednesday night. This the inauguration is going on. What's going to happen when we wake up tomorrow morning? Security now is sort of diminishing. It's leaving. What's going to happen?
Right.
And I'm saying away from Washington, D.C. They was talking about taking over every capital, every nation's, every capital building in every state, whatever their capital building was. These white supremacists said they were going to take over all capitals simultaneously. In every state. Brother Wesley, talking about today, the tight security they had here in Washington, D.C., do you realize some of the security they were talking about? Airplanes could possibly, these white supremacists had their own airplanes?
Yes, the government sold them to them some time ago, these militias.
Yeah,
they got all kind of stuff that, we don't have access to, and that's the government's fault, because, like you say, those policemen
not,
and that.
It's not the government's fault. It's collaboration, right? White folks collaborating with each other. White supremacists and good folks collaborating, but they're not the government, although they have all the power of the government.
Right. I mean, it's the government officials that let them buy military equipment like the helicopters, the 50 caliber machine guns.
That's what I'm saying. And until.
Yeah.
So again, who is your white supremacist? They tell me somebody that skinheads and that and that. Skinheads, they can't survive unless they have supporters.
That's right. That's absolutely right, bro.
And you can't have a militia. You can't have a great big army and say it's a militia unless everybody in the community know about it.
Right.
How do you have 70 million? How do you have 70 million $70 million.
That's a lot.
So who is the good folks and who is the bad folks? You know, who is the
it's
good
hard
white
to
folks?
Tell.
White folks.
Yeah.
We as African Americans, not only see, this is what I mean about our independence is our is capitalism. We're in a capitalist.
Mm-hmm.
Your money is what makes you a powerful. Your money is what caused you to exist in this country. We
absolutely
amount of money, a huge amount. I remember way back in 2005 when we was talking about doing statistics on the power of the black dollar. At that time, they were saying when it comes to the monies that come into the African American community, we started talking about the national products of each country. If the African Americans was a nation, we would be the fifth richest nation in the world because of the incomes that come into our communities. But we take those monies and give them right back to folks who want to see our destruction.
Mm-hmm.
I just want to see their contraband or their, you know, there's something that they feel like they own.
That's
their
right.
To get away from that, because if you're looking for the good white folks, bad white folks, for that to be separated, I don't know if you can, because like I said again, who are the good white folks and who are the bad ones? And it's been going on for so long. So the good white folks have allowed the bad white folks to live right beside them. Like I said, I may not what you do, but I support it. So if you support it, you're in
right.
Some fashion. I ask this question, and I'm gonna ask you this question. I'm gonna ask anybody who's listening this question. I'm beginning to think that racism and white supremacy is hereditary. What I mean by that is that if my mother and father, if I was a white person, and my mother and father was white supremacist, my granddaddy, my grandmother was all my uncles and aunts, and their granddaddies and their granddaddies and their granddaddies, I mean, it goes back to everybody I know, all of my associates, cousins, friends, are all white. I've never had nothing to do with black folks. Then how is it that I have overcame racism? My entire hereditary belief has been racist. I was taught racism. How did I overcome it? As an individual, when my family has been a racist.
Well,
I want to
know
overcome being a racist if you are an American white person? I mean, ain't nothing but a question. I don't care who answers. I'm opening the mics up. We got a few callers coming in. But I'm going to turn it back over to you for your comments. But like I said, my fears is, like I said, if it takes this many, if Joe Biden have 20,000 30,000 troops to protect him for one day, then what is the rest of the community, those out there, because like I said, these white supremacists, after their hate is not other white folks. Their hate is that starts with African Americans. I'm going to tell you, we're the number one target. So again, we as African Americans have got to look at this hate situation. And I personally know I need to do something about it, but I think every African American out there needs to do something about protecting themselves and their families and their communities. Again, those are my comments. I welcome yours.
Brother Bilal, I have to say, on the hereditary part of you were saying that you believe they inherited that, you're absolutely correct. And it's not in a physical sense like a genealogical problem. It's a social way of thinking and a social behavior that has gone on and along for so many hundreds of years, that this way of thinking, whether you want to admit that you have it or not, it is part of your upbringing. It's part of what was that you come up around it, and you may not want to be like that, but you don't do nothing about that because they're the same people like you, and they're not doing this to you. They're doing it to someone that here's where the real subtle thought comes in. Here's someone that all your life you've been taught that not only are they inferior to you, but you are better than them. You know, and that kind of concept can always keep a certain people you can pick their pockets that way, as Lyndon Johnson said. If you make them think, the poorest one of them think, that they're better than the most wealthiest and most educated black man. Even though this black man, they know that he got everything better than them and all of that, but they still think they're better than him. He's just a nigga or whatever they want to call it. And it is an hereditary thing. Because that's the environment they come in. How can you possibly come up in an environment not like that and be like that? And the other subliminal thing is we think people like Kennedy, Abraham Lincoln, and others, I won't be able to mention names, we think that they were all for us. When bottom line, if you look into their history, what they were doing was nothing about us. What they were doing was something to keep them unified. That's what all that's about. So this type of racism we see going on today, again, is like you say, the good white folks this time had to come out with our help and put somebody in office that wasn't a total maniac, crazy, like the one that was just in office. But for too long, the good ones, like we saw what happened with the whole Trump administration, they let the bad ones just cut up. And it was hurting them too, but they still let them went on and cut ahead. And that's like people are saying they believe in the creator of the heavens and the earth. They believe in Almighty God. And they watch and see things that they do, that all the prophets that they say that they followed behind, peace and blessings be upon them all, and they don't act like that at all. They act like somebody, Fred. They act like that guy that they say in the Bible was asked three times about Jesus, peace and blessings be upon him. Do you know him? Oh no. And Jesus told him, said, you're going to deny me three times before the crow cock. So, you know, when you got good people sitting up and watching atrocities go down in front of them, they're not good people. They are part of the problem. They are a serious part of the problem. So to answer your question, brother, they cannot teach against that. It takes someone like who this stuff has been practiced to on, like us, to teach that to them. So that they, if they want to, can change their behavior. But it has to be a national, and I do mean national, effort. And, you know, President Biden did say that the United States has systematic racism, and we know that. It's nothing new. Only thing that's new that he brought it out and said it, and a lot of people agreed with him that knew that that wasn't nothing new. But, yeah, that's my answer to that question, bro. They cannot. It's got to be taught by one of us, or us, period, not one of us.
Brother Aziz, if you're concluding that your answer is that white folks cannot stop racism, they can't control racism, then how can we survive? How can our democracy survive? What happened down at the Capitol building Wednesday? We didn't have a democracy there for a while. But
we didn't have people with no morals or ethics
all over the country. Suppose this thing kicks off tomorrow, and the first place they attack it is Atlanta, because Atlanta just put in, stopped their white supremacy movement. So let's say they take it out on the city. I mean, you're talking about, like I said, this is the same thing that started the Civil War. You're talking about 70 million folks out here that we know that are ready to do. All happened last Wednesday. My thing is that white folks cannot police that situation. They can't stop white folks for being white supremacists. So if the good folks can't stop them, that means that they're afraid of them. 6 to 500 policemen up on Capitol Hill were scared. And we know all those hill policemen up on Capitol Hill. We know those are privileged.
Assalamu alaikum, my brothers. They're called empathizers. When you sit by and you watch what's happening and you don't respond, it's because either you are part of the problem or you're part of the solution. So since we can agree that they're not a part of the solution, they have to be a part of this problem. So it's going to be time for people to show what they call your true colors.
Yeah,
it's going to be time for people to stand up and face what they have to face, because this nation right here, right now, it's got some serious problems. And like you said, my brother, 70, it's more like 75 million. So we can't afford to leave out the remainders. We got to include them all.
Right.
So it's not pretty. And this brother and sister here, that's the president, vice president, they have a major chore, because the it hasn't started to come in yet exactly what they're dealing with.
No,
I'm just hoping that we can sustain whatever it is when it comes. Because people have been flying bunny rabbits first class around the country. So, I mean, and I'm talking about hot, hippie, little bunny tail stuff, piece of thing. So, yeah, it's gonna be a tad worth seeing, but we've come through, I guess, worse times. I have to say that,
right,
although I don't necessarily know that. But you have to have faith. That's what we have to lean on, because we're up against some, as Dr. King said, some tumultuous times. So.
Washington, D.C., so they couldn't come rushing in here, because if they come rushing in here, there was just too much security to deal with. But I'm saying he took and sent a million white supremacists throughout the South, opening black neighborhoods. Who's going to stop them? What position are we in to protect our own communities?
That's something.
Our wives, our husbands, our kids. I'm saying this is happening right now. So again, pray for America. These white folks, these white supremacists are on the move. They're attacking right now. So what do we do? I mean, what's the reason for this blog radio station? See, African Americans does not have channels of communication, so it's easy to catch us with our hands down because we don't know how to communicate and prepare. That's why you need social media like the New Africa Business Association. We need hundreds of these outcasts where when you have emergencies like this, you have a place to go and there's an alarm to be put out. We're putting out an alarm that our government has been attacked, and most of the security folks that we look to secure are white folks, and white folks cannot secure themselves, so they know where in the world they can secure you. So where do you go from here? Again, our mics are open. I got everybody who's on the line. You have a comment, share in. Because, again, I don't have the answers, but I do know we have a serious situation on our hands, brothers and sisters, that must be dealt with right now. Prime mics are open. Anybody who has any comments, we welcome your comments.
Yeah, well, Brother Alice, again, first of all, I agree with Sister Joyce. Only the answers come to whatever the solution is going to be through faith. That's the only way it's going to come. That's number one. But secondly, after, you know, faith comes the place where we are. We're in America. There's a First Amendment right, and there's a Second Amendment right. And all you got to do right now is put them two in effect. And all African Americans, I know, we all talk about that First Amendment rights and that. But I'm saying you better look at the Second Amendment, and that's your constitutional right to bear arms. So that is something that you got to look on, because there's too many of us get caught like we out there in the woods going to the bathroom and somebody and the very animal that you're hunting come up on you with your pants down. You're gonna, as the young boys and young girls say nowadays, you're gonna get jacked.
You got that right.
That's right. So, you know, I know it's a lot of shooting and killing in the African American community today, but that's something we gotta deal with, that craziness and wildness. But for the family people that are decent family owners, our sisters and that, yes, we need to protect ourselves, yourselves. Use your Second Amendment right where you see it necessary. And living in America, believe me, it's necessary.
But mm-hmm. Brother, I would like to also add the weapons that they're speaking of in that particular amendment. They couldn't even have a clue or an idea as the weaponry that these folk are hoarding today. And there's
right.
not an animal that I can think of that you could consume once you shoot. You can't hunt deer, and I don't even think moose. Those weapons are for human beings. They're
mm-hmm.
not, because, see, we're from the country. We are RFD people.
Yeah, yeah.
But I'm going to tell you something. as a child growing up, okay, I'm talking from diaper stage on up, we always had a shotgun behind the door. You come through that because it wasn't but one way in, one way out. You understand? So you came through that front door, that shotgun was right over there waiting on you. Because dinner may come hopping, flying, running by, and you had to get that gun and get busy. But seldom did we think about using that shotgun on another person. And as children growing up, I don't know if it was loaded or not, because we never bothered it. We knew better.
Right.
I don't even know where it was instilled in us. And if one sibling passed it down to the next sibling. But, honey, I never touched. No, I sure never touched Brother Bilal.
Right.
So, he had an old BB gun. But that's another story. But what I'm saying is, the weapons that the Second Amendment is referencing, you know, because that stuff they had, it only had one shot. I watched a whole lot of Daniel Boone. They had one shot, and then they had to take that thing and run it up, and blow through it and put some more powder in it. It was a long time between shooting the next revolutionary. It was a long time between shooting another one. But the things they had made instruments that they could add to it, bumper thingies or whatever they called them. They could shoot that much faster. Now, what you shooting at? You shooting at her?
Right.
They're not saying, and we sat around, and they have allowed this to happen. This stuff is not by accident. They've been training those children up in those hills, in these hills of backwoods America for 50-plus years. And they're ready. I'm telling you right now, they are ready. They deny.
Mm-hmm.
They got all kind of names and passwords and bywords and code names that they're using.
Mm-hmm.
They're trained to be afraid. But see, you got to do your job. And your job may look like you at some point.
Mm-hmm.
You got to face yourself because it's going to come down to that. Because they want this. This is what they want. You know what else, brother? They had some good black people in America. They still have some good black people in America. They didn't want good people in America. They wanted them from N-words. So they made them some, and they're still not satisfied. So as you can see, you can't satisfy them, so it's time to get your own agenda. Work on self. It's time.
Right.
So the first thing we need to be working on is some security, as Brother Bilal said a few minutes ago. Somebody has to protect the neighborhood. Someone has to protect where we are. And if you're not there, you better get there in a hurry, because like he said, these folk weren't playing. But anyway, that's just... That's a penny and a half. I may have another half a penny for the rest of my 2 cents a little later.
Brothers and sisters, the thing about that, you just heard from our females. Our females, you start with our mothers, our aunts and sisters and cousins and neighbors. Our females are not secured. Because why? Our males are not showing our females that they are secured. Just like my question is, because again, like I said, go back to last Wednesday. Before last Wednesday, many things to me, I knew there was danger. And I knew there was possibilities for this and the probabilities for that. But last Wednesday, you showed, we've been talking about Black Wall Street and the Black Wall Street disruption. You last week, for one day, you saw what a white supremacist destruction is all about. Now, just think if those white supremacists was allowed to have their weapons. last week. 100,000 of them was allowed to have their weapons last week. Washington, D.C. would have been, the entire city would have been taken over. Why? Because, again, the black males and those who aren't white would have wasn't able to secure their communities. They depended on white policemen and the white judiciary system to do what they said they were doing, because they're the ones who get paid to be the policemen. They're the ones who get paid to be the Capitol Hill and the military or whatever, whoever's giving the orders for authority. It's the white folks who are in charge of all of that. And I am saying, now that these white supremacists are saying, okay, we are going to forget about the democracy, forget about any type of democracy or voting or anything like that. We're taking over because we're sick and tired of the way things are, period. So we're doing what we did 100 years ago to Abe Lincoln and the other white supremacist movement. We're doing what we did to the Black Wall Street and any other changes that goes on in this country that we as white folks don't like. And like I said, there are no good white folks. Stop the bad ones. Once the bad ones start going in a rage, the way that they went in a rage last Wednesday, and I've always said, the reason why racism continues and continues so much is because white folks are scared of white folks. White supremacists got these so-called good white folks scared to death, and this is
right.
Why they are going to. This is why they allow these folks to come into their infiltrate their communities. And like I said, you don't know what you call a good white folks from a bad white folks. Why? Because white folks allow this white folks because of fear, and that fear allowed them to become supporters. Those police.
Brother Bilal, can I interject something right there? What you're saying?
Well, like I told you,
I wanted to add this on to while you're talking about what you're saying. Those rioters or those anti-government American people, they were chanting and calling out for Pence, Pelosi, and the other congressman, Schumer. They were calling out. They want them, brother. And you see, and they set up a hangman's noose out there, like they were going to hang somebody. They had that up into the Capitol. And on top of that,
they were going to hang somebody.
Right. Now, here's another kicker to it. Clarence Thomas' wife sponsored 80 busloads of them to go.
Yes. And made public appearances.
And she's been on that bandwagon with QAnon and these other militia groups, racist groups, and Clarence Thomas sitting up there on the bench.
Yeah, but you know we eat babies. Democrats, you know we eat babies, and we kill little babies, and we eat them, and they got, oh, man, you wouldn't believe. You would not, and those people, we're talking about the QAnons now. They actually believe that we are, what is that? What's it? Cannibalists. That we, oh, man. And they came. They came to voice their, you know, their differences with how the Democrats do things. We can't even imagine the depth of the lies and the deceit that's been embedded and rooted into these people. This thing
right.
is real.
Yeah,
it is very real.
What are we as African Americans, especially African American males, and we need our females too, because when we talk about this here, a protection thing, we all have to do what we have to do to protect ourselves. But my thing is not only protection, but we have to unify ourselves. Because,
yes.
See, white people can always look for the weakness. They're never going to come to your strength. They're going to come. And what is the weakness? It's when there's a few of you. Or when you're all by yourself.
Yes.
And your family. This is what I'm saying as communities. When you folks wake up tomorrow, if these white folks don't attack tonight, because there's nothing to say that they won't, you don't know when they're going to attack. It's not safe. I told you, the judiciary system has proven that they cannot protect you. They can't protect themselves. So, again, what are we as a community, what are we going to do? We got to do something. We got to do it right away. And I'm saying one of the things is to make certain that you keep a unity, a group. Try not to be by yourself as a community. And, yes, protect your communities. I'm not going to tell nobody to start. I ain't going to tell nobody to do that but myself. But, again, talk about that old shotgun behind the door when I was a baby, back when we was kids. Yell, Fred is still behind that door. And we don't keep that door closed too tight. So, I ain't trying to be.
That's the truth.
We must protect ourselves. I like to be on this station. This is a business station. We come on here talking about finding our true independence, which we know is economics. But right now, we got to close the store. We got to close the shop because we got to secure ourselves. Do you know how close we came the other day to damn near being back in slavery? If they had simultaneously attacked every capital in this country, the way that they fought, and white folks are going to join white folks at that point. They ain't going to be fighting for you. They ain't going to die for you. What in the world is going to happen to them? We ain't ready.
You know, another good thing come out of there was this brother that they. This brother that they were leading up the steps. The people were trying to chase up the steps inside the building. He was leading them. He was leading them. Supposedly, they thought he was leading them up to the chambers.
Yeah.
But actually, he was leaving.
They're gonna make that. Chief, as soon as he can get trained. But see, that was an example of what they know they need now. There's going to be a lot of application for black police officers up on that hill. White folks know that they're not. Even white folks don't want those cowards ran, 6,500 of them ran and given excuses as to why. It was too many of them. Brother, do you know what I can do with a squad? Isaacs, we're war veterans. You give me a squadron of 6,500 troops? I don't give a damn how big your crowd is. If I know you're coming, 6,500 of us?
But now, what about the sister who got released from her job because she punched that woman in the face? She needs to be reinstated. You know what? One of the things that we were speaking of, the brother who led them to the opposite way.
Right.
We also think about that brother who was the true founder, the discoverer of the Watergate movement. That brother died a pauper. He couldn't even get a job cutting grass. So we need to reach back and recognize him for the good that he did. That no one. The only thing that there will be no movies. It'll be no books. But years later, they made movies and books.
Right.
And that's he doesn't even get a decent high five.
This brother just got promoted to the.
We're talking about the present time, and right now we're being attacked. We're being
this
attacked. And
went up the steps.
Like I said, what's going to happen tomorrow? What's going to happen tomorrow? What's going to happen when the sun come up and those rural areas you live in right now? Are you going to be safe? And if you're not safe, what's going to happen to you? You're just going to go back and let the man put the whip back to you? Well, that's the option if you lose your democracy. The only way you can lose your democracy is you didn't fight for it. In order to have this democracy, we had to fight for it. Black folks, white folks, and everybody in this country had to fight for it. But now that we have it, we're talking about a few white supremacists taking it from us? I'm telling you, our problem is that we have problems with communications. But now that while we're talking to each other, and I see we got two or three different states, get on here and be proactive. Tell your neighbors, tell your churches, tell everybody. We must secure our communities. Brothers and sisters, we're coming up to the last. Any comments anybody needs to make, go ahead and make your comments. And we'll be off the air in about two or three minutes.
Yeah, well, I would just say
Director Stone.
Director Stone, greetings.
Top of the evening to you guys.
Yeah.
Yes, it's good to be on here. I was on last week. I was in silence because I was preparing dinner for my family, and I have a mouthful of food now. Do forgive me for that. But I wanted to comment on what you're addressing. It is very much needed in our community. Last week, and Ms. Joyce can bear witness to this, I went into the city and had a meeting with a group of officers. They are ex-peace officers, and they are part of a security team that we are setting up. We are training our women to carry small weapons, and we're getting them registered through the state because this thing is very serious. Yes, we pray, but in Leviticus, it tells us you have a right to protect your family. And that's amen, somebody. So thank you so much for putting this word out there because we need it, beloved. We need to be aware of our surroundings and be ready at all times. God bless you. Yep. Thank you for letting me share.
Thank you.
And remember the buddy system. Try to remember the buddy system.
Yeah.
Yes, ma'am.
So as you can see, we got 90 seconds. Brothers and sisters, spread the word. Tell everybody, protect your family, protect your communities, and protect each other. We're logging off. We look forward to having everybody back on next Wednesday from 7 to 8 p.m. Again, this is Bilal Barnum along with your co-host.
Yes.
Abdul Aziz Shaheed.
And we'll anybody who has any comments, just continue to talk to the show, cut us off. We still got 90 seconds. Any comments? Anybody want to say anything? We got 90 seconds.
Yes, Brother Aziz. I'd like to thank all of our guests that came on tonight for participating with us. And we hope we can continue this. And it was very good to hear from you, Director Stone, and Joyce, and
always.
And our other guests.
Always.
And, this isn't over with yet, so we'll have to see what happens this week because this week will be a very tumultuous week in D.C., so.
Yes, but that training program that the sister was speaking of, we may need to learn how to get that training throughout the country. We need it now. We need to, because we're not near as prepared as the enemy. So we need to get something
ready to travel.
We need to get some initiatives. That may be something for think about. Get some initiatives of wherein we will be going countrywide. setting up training for learning how to defend yourself and, you know, some basic throws. And, you know, it's something you can do because, like you said, if they think that you're vulnerable, they're going to ride down on you. Because I watch Gunsmoke.
Yeah.
I do. I watch all of them. Yeah. And you know what? I get a lot. I learn a lot from them folks. I do. I learned, you know, how we acquired North Carolina from watching Daniel Boone. So, brothers and sisters, we need to get back to basics.
Yeah, let's make it happen.
Yeah.
We need to.
Yes, ma'am. We need to find that training thing. We need to. This is Stone. We need. We're gonna get together.
Yes, ma'am.
We need to get together anyway because there's some work I got to do. We need to take care of that business.
Yes, ma'am. Okay.
But at any rate, you guys, I love you, each and every one of you, and thank you for allowing me my time to come on here. That was my 2 cents. So I'm signing off. I'm saying assalamu alaikum. And God bless each and every one of you.
God bless you. Good night, you guys. God bless
you. And next week we'll be right back. Good night.
Good night, love.